Now, there are many kind of hard sayings, and in the Scripture, there are numerous, numerous hard sayings. Some hard sayings are serious and very troubling. Sometimes hard sayings can be humorous, at least to those who are not directly involved. I had a hard saying said not long ago, not to me, but I was there. I was in Albertville working in a weight loss clinic. Albertville has a lot of Hispanic people. They don't know the English language really well, some of them. And I never know for sure if I'm communicating well. So the other day, a lady came in with a little girl. The little girl was probably 6 or 7 years old, maybe 8 years old. And I thought she brought her in to help translate, but she didn't. The little girl just sat over on the side, and the mom was telling me her story. The weight loss counselor had already told me that the woman wanted stronger medicine because she wasn't losing weight. So I was trying to go through the program and make sure she understood it. And I says, now, are you eating protein? Yeah, she said, protein, protein. I says, are you drinking all the water you should? Yes, water, drinking water. I says, are you getting exercise like you should? She says, yes, exercise. About that time, the little girl said, she's eating candy. The woman said, well, that was a hard saying for that woman. But that was too late because the hard saying had already been said. So that's a humorous hard saying. And we know that story now. The counselor said, that lady will not bring her daughter in here again. And I suspect that's right. So I've got some hard sayings that I would like to talk about this morning. I've got a list of 8 that are in the Scripture. Where is your brother? Why did Sarah laugh? Who are you? I have a message from God. Where have you been? This year you will die. Did I not see you in the garden with him? How much did you get for the land you sold? So the first one, where is your brother? And that shouldn't be a hard saying. All of us who have brothers, if somebody asked us, would say, we knew where they were. We didn't know where they were. We would have a simple answer. But this was a hard saying. And you all, I suspect, know why it was a hard saying. Because the Lord said that to Cain. Genesis chapter 4, he said, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Why was that a hard saying? Well, it was a hard saying to him because he had killed his brother. And now the secret was out. So that made a simple question into a hard saying. Hard saying number 2. Why did Sarah laugh? Now laughing is a good thing. We know we all enjoy laughing. But there are different kinds of laughs. You remember the story when Jesus went in to raise a young girl from the dead. She had died, and he told those in the house, she is not dead. And they laughed him to scorn. Now, I can say that was not a happy laugh. Well, Sarah laughed, and you remember the story. God had appeared as a man, and he was telling Abraham that Sarah would have a child. Now, Sarah knew that she was too old to have a child. And so she heard the Lord speaking to Abraham about her having a child. And verse 12 of chapter 18, it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? that was a hard question because Sarah laughed to herself. That's also something that we should think about. When we laugh to ourselves, the Lord hears it anyway. Verse 15 of chapter 18 says, "But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" So simple question, why did Sarah laugh, was a hard saying. Hard saying number three, who are you? I just thought of this coming over to the office. I should have asked this question, or coming over to the building, I should have asked this question a long time ago in my office. Had a young lady there about the age of Renee, and she had a man with her that I had not seen before. He was about my age. And so I went over, spoke to him, and I said, "I'm glad you came today because I have not met her dad." And I should have said, "Who are you?" Because he said, "I'm her husband." So, who are you should be asked sometime. Genesis chapter 27, we have the story of Esau coming to Isaac. Remember, Isaac was blind. Jacob had already been there and had gotten the blessing of Isaac through the deception of Jacob and his mother. So Esau came shortly after, doing what Isaac had told him to do. So Isaac had made the food prepared as Isaac had requested. And chapter 27 of Genesis, verse 32, says, "And his father Isaac said to him, 'Who are you?' Esau said, 'I am your son, your firstborn Esau.'" Well, that question, "Who are you?" was a hard question to Esau because he recognized that he had lost out on the blessing. But the question, "Who are you?" it can be a simple question. It's not necessarily a hard saying. But in this case, it was a hard saying because of the circumstances. Hard saying number four, "I have a message from God." Now, messages from God are good, but this was a hard saying. The Moabites had been oppressing Israel for 18 years, and Eglon was the king of the Moabites. And the Israelites had to bring tribute every year to the Moabites, to the king. And so the Israelites prayed for relief, and God gave them Ehud, a judge, for relief. Scripture tells us that Ehud was a left-handed man, and he made a dagger 18 inches long that he strapped to his right thigh. And he went to see Eglon to give him tribute. And he gave him tribute. And then he said, "I have a message from God." And so Eglon asked his servants to leave so he could get this secret message from God. The Bible tells us that Eglon was a fat man. So when everyone was out, Ehud gave him the message. And the message was, he pulled the dagger out, stuck it in Eglon's belly. And the scripture says the fat fell over the sword because he was fat, and the sword stayed there. So, a message from God in that case was a hard saying. Another message that's hard, message five, "Where have you been?" I go to clinics sometimes, for weight loss clinics. I go to Albertville and Trustful, been to Florence, go to Athens, go to Cullman. So Sometimes Mary Jo doesn't know my schedule, and sometimes I don't know myself till the day that I'm supposed to go somewhere. So sometimes I'll get home late, and she says, "Where have you been?" And I say, "Well, I've been to Athens today." So that's not a hard question. But there is a hard question and a hard saying in 2 Kings chapter 5. That's the story of Naaman when he was healed of his leprosy by Elisha. Naaman wanted to give Elisha gifts, and Elisha refused all of those gifts. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, thought that was a mistake. And so after Naaman left, Elisha ran after him and caught up with Naaman. And Naaman said, What is the problem?" And Gehazi said, "Well, two young men from the company of the prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two sets of clothing." That's in verse 22 of chapter 5 of 2 Kings. Well, that was a lie. But Gehazi wanted something. And so Naaman gladly gave him those gifts. And Gehazi took them and put them in his house. Then he came back to Elisha. Verse 25 of that chapter says, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" Well, that should be a simple question. When Mary Jo asked me, "Where have I been?" it's a simple question. But it was a hard saying for Gehazi, because he had coveted gifts, and he lied about it, because he said, "Your servant didn't go anywhere." So what happened to Gehazi? He got the leprosy that had been removed from Naaman. Hard saying number 6. "This year you will die." Now that's a hard saying. You don't have to know the story to hear that saying. The story, though, is about a man in the time of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesied in chapter 25 of Jeremiah, verse 11, that the nations would serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Well, Hananiah came along. He was a prophet. He prophesied that they would only serve the king of Babylon 2 years. That's in Jeremiah 28, verse 11. Verse 16, Jeremiah said, "Therefore thus says the Lord, Behold, I will cast you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die because you have taught rebellion against the Lord." Verse 17 of that chapter, "So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month." Hananiah heard this hard saying because he was a lying prophet. Hard saying number 7. "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Now, Greg's dad, I think, has a garden. And if I drove by one day and Greg was out there working in the garden with his dad, I could say, did I see you in the garden with him? And he'd say, "Yeah, I was out there helping him out." That shouldn't be a hard saying, but it was. John 18, verse 26, 27. "One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. I don't know why Peter denied that, whether he was afraid or confused. I don't know, but it was a hard saying. A simple question could have had a simple answer, but it was a hard saying. That's easy for us. Somebody comes in the back door and says, "Do you believe in Jesus?" Yes. If we were in Iran, in a crowd, in a mob, it might be a hard saying for us. Hard saying number 8. "How much did you get for the land you sold?" Now, a lot of us have sold land. Somebody might ask us the question. We might say, "Well, you know, it's not any of your business." the IRS asks us that question, we got to tell them how much we got. But in this case, it was a hard saying. Acts 5, verses 7 through 9 is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Beginning with verse 7. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." So he asked her how much she sold the land for, and she lied. It should have been a simple question. Here's a hard saying from the Lord. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Everett talked about this morning. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now this is a terribly hard saying for most of us, because we know those people. Now, if we said that, people would say, "You shouldn't criticize another person's religion. You should leave them alone. They are worshiping God." But Christ said this. He wasn't talking about atheists. He was talking about people who think they're doing right and believe they're going to heaven. Reading verse 23 one more time. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Lawlessness means violation of the law. And this scripture is not talking about the law of the state of Alabama. It's talking about the law of God and Christ. And we have a good example of lawlessness in Leviticus chapter 10. You remember the story of Nadab and Abihu, the priest. Reading verse 1 of chapter 10 of Leviticus. "Then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put a fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." They just decided to do something in worship which was their own idea and which God had not told them to do. So how do the hard sayings apply to us today? Let me tell you one hard saying. We had a lady who used to worship with us, a sister in Christ, and I was doing the Lord's Supper one day, passing out the Lord's Supper. When I passed by her row, she had her legs crossed, and you could see her thigh all the way up almost to her underwear. And so after services, I said, "You know, your clothing is immodest." And she slapped me. But not really. I didn't say that. But if I had, she wouldn't have slapped me. But I should have. And why didn't I? Because it would have been a hard saying. I don't know why, whether I thought it would embarrass her. I know she wouldn't have slapped me. Whether it would have hurt feelings. But it was a hard saying for me. So there are 5 other sayings that must be hard for us because we don't say them. "Would you go to worship with me? Would you study the Bible with me?" I don't think you should be saying that. It is gossip. "Your clothes are immodest." Our preacher has a special Bible study called "The Big Picture of the Bible." "Would you come to my house and you and I can listen to this study together?" I don't think we say enough of those hard sayings, at least I don't. We all have heard hard sayings all of our life. We will hear some more. Sayings of illness and pain and death, family problems. There may be hard sayings regarding this church. We will have to say hard sayings at times to those we love and those we may want to help. I have a hard saying that I remember for over 40 years, and the point I'm making about that is when we say hard things, sometimes they stay with people. I was working in an emergency room in Oakland, California, 45 years ago. I was an intern. Oakland had an emergency room about four times the size of the Cullman Regional Hospital emergency room. Massive people. I was a young guy assigned to two triage rooms. We had an old doctor, not as old as me, but he was older, experienced, pretty much a grizzly old doctor. He didn't see patients. He just oversaw the emergency room, kept everything in order. I had a guy come in, and he had a little burn, black spot right there. He's 18 years old. And the EMTs were doing CPR on him, trying to revive him. And I went and looked at him, and he wasn't breathing. He had no heartbeat, and his pupils were wildly dilated. And he is obviously dead, had been dead for a while. So I told the EMTs, you know, there's no reason to go forward with this. I went out and told my emergency room director, this man is dead. And I went on to go to the next room, and he says, wait a minute, young fellow. I turned back around. He says, you're not done yet. I says, what do you mean? He says, you got to go tell his mama. Now, that was a hard thing, because I had never done that before, ever. So I went to the wedding room, which was huge, people everywhere, and I called out the name of the mom, and she came up. She had, you could just see hope in her eyes. And as best I could, I blundered through the fact that her son was dead. That was a hard saying for me. It's hard for her to hear, hard for me to say. And I have not forgot that yet. As I close this lesson, we all need to remember that life is short and the day of judgment is certain. And our Bible class this morning ever talked about death. Death is certain. John 12:48 says this, we will be judged by the words which Jesus spoke. We will not be judged by our own ideas. Remember that. We won't be judged by what we think, by our creed book, by some church's doctrine, or what we think is good and right. Now, here's the hardest saying of all sayings we do not want to hear. Matthew 25:41. Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We don't want to hear that hard saying. The scriptures tell us what we must do to go to heaven. If you're here and you do not know what to do to go to heaven, we hope you will ask some of us to have a Bible study so we can discuss that. If you're here and know what you should do and you're not prepared to go to heaven, we invite you to come forward at the singing of this song.